Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Yevamos Yedalet. We're holding on the second line from the top of the Amud. We're in the midst of a discussion regarding the machlokes that we find, the discussions, the disputes, all throughout Shas, between Beis Sham and Beis Hillel. So we know that we follow Beis Hillel. The question is as follows. The Beis Shammai themselves, the Yeshiva of Shammai, the Bezn of Shammai, what did they do? They also follow Beis Hillel? Or did they just follow their own sheet? Says the Gemara, this itself is a topic of a machlokes. Who we plucked is dependent upon a machlokes, a discussion between the Rav Ushmo. The Rav, Aymer lo yasu Beis Shammai kedevrem. Beis Shammai never followed through, never carried out their sheet. They also ended up following in line with Beis Hillel. That's the halach. Ushmul amar asu v'asu no. Beis Shammai did their thing, even though we, general population, follows Beis Hillel. They're entitled to do their own thing. Asks the Gemara. Let's step back for a second. At what point in history are we speaking about? We know that the Gemara Ervin speaks about Ervin Gimel, that there was a baskel that calls out from Shemaim, halacha ki Beis Hillel. This was an ongoing dispute between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Who are we going to follow? Who is the halacha follow? A baskel rung out and said, halacha ki Beis Hillel. So what are we speaking about here? Emas, ilei makoidem baskel, pre-baskel, the pre-baskel era. My time at the Madam Lo Yasu. So why is there anybody that says Lo Yasu? Rav says, Lo Yasu Beis Shammai kedevrem. They didn't follow their shita. Why not? They're entitled to follow their shita. There's not yet a baskel telling us otherwise. Oh, it's after the baskel. Then my time of demanda amarsu. How could somebody say that Beis Shammai insisted on doing their opinion after the baskel tells us to do otherwise? So either way, it's difficult to understand. If it's before baskel, gazante, do what you want. If it's after baskel, they're committed to the baskel as well. They also have to follow Beis Shammai. So what are we speaking about? Answers the Gemara, Ibo Yesema. You can say, Koidem Baskel. It was before Baskel. Ibo Yesema, or you can say, Lacha Baskel. It's post Baskel. Both will make sense. Ibo Yesema, Koidem Baskel. Perhaps it's before Baskel. Could go into Beis Hillel. So happens to be at that point in time, Beis Hillel with a majority. And therefore, Beis Shammai went along with Beis Hillel. So if at any point in history, Beis Hillel, any given time, Beis Hillel was the majority, Beis Shammai would just follow along, because he meant to follow the majority. Achi Rabim Lahatois is something we find in Bezdin, and they applied that to Psak as well. So even before Baskel, Beis Shammai conformed with Beis Hillel. The Rav. L'mandam or Layosu. So this explains the Shita, that they didn't do their own thing, the Ha Beis Hillel Rav, because they followed Beis Hillel. Who are the Rav? L'mandam or Asu. What about the other Shita? The Beis Shammai did their own thing. How could they? Ki azlina basarua. When do we follow the Rav? When does majority carry weight? Hecha dechia dadininu. When both sides are otherwise equal. Equally qualified. Equally competent. So Rav carries the day. Hacha. But over here, Beis Shammai mechadad ditfei. They were sharper. Deeper. And their added qualities perhaps overrides the majority factor. And therefore, this opinion holds that Beis Shammai stuck to their own shit. That's one approach. You can say as follows. We're speaking la'achar baskel, after the baskel rang out and said, Allah ki Beis Hillel. Mandam aloy asu. This explains the shita that Beis Shammai would not actually carry out their own shita. Don't afka baskel. They have to reckon with the baskel that tells them to follow Beis Hillel. Umandam al asu. The other shita that maintains that they maintain their ground. What happened to the baskel? You don't pay attention to baskels when it comes to halacha. Rabbi Shoy, this is in line with Rabbi Shoy Shita. The Amar ein mashkichim bebaskel. We pay no attention when it comes to a baskel in terms of halachic considerations. Torah is given to us, earthlings. Lidba shamayim hi. We don't pay attention to baskel. Beis Shammai stuck to their shita. Interesting machlokes. Now, how does this pertain to our sugya? Yesterday, the Gemara brought a pasuk which says, Lois is going to do. And we learn from there, don't group yourself into separate groups. There are two ways to learn the Gemara, to Mahalchim and the Rishonim. Rashi learns to avoid Machlekes. The Rambam learns to avoid Machlekes. Rashi learns because it's Nira, Kenoig, and Shtei Torahs. It looks as though the Torah is being split into sections, into different opinions and schools of thought. We have to maintain the integrity and consistency of Torah, and therefore we're not meant to create agudas. We're meant to follow the same path, the same track, the same sheet. No. So how does this fit with this Gemara here? Umadama also, according to the opinion that Beishama would do their own thing, despite the fact that everybody else followed Beis Hillel, Karina and Khan, why don't we apply the Pasuk Loisis Gadu, which teaches us Loisasu agudas agudas? You're not meant to group yourself into groups. Why isn't that a concern when it comes to Beishama Beis Hillel? Omar Abaye, you're meant to know as follows. The concern is only as follows. When does this concern apply? You have two courts in the same city. That creates a conflict. If they're going to do different things. This Bezdin follows Beis Shammai. This Bezdin passes like Beis Hillel. Now you have a running conflict in the city. Agudis, agudis. Confusion reigns. You have two towns. Each town has its own independent court. Here they follow Beis Shammai. The other town, Beis Hillel. There's no concern. There's no conflict. Less Lamba. Amalei Rava. What do you mean? Va Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. That's a perfect example of Kishtei Batei Dinam Birachas, tell me. Two schools of thought in the same city. It's a conflicting entity. Second, they do their own thing. Elam Arava. Even in the same city. It wouldn't be a concern if they're separate institutions. When did Lishiskoidu pose a concern? You have one Bezdin in the same city, and the Bezdin is split along party lines. Plag Meirin Kedivir Beishamai, half follows Beishamai. Uplag, and the other half, Meirin Kedivir Beisil, they follow Beisil. That creates a true conflict. Aval Shtei Batei Dinin Beirachas, if you have two separate institutions, even if it's in the same city, each one is entitled to follow his personal opinion. Less Lamba, there's no concern about Gudis, Agudis. Therefore, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are not committed to each other. Toshma, listen to this kash. The Brisa says that B'mkoy Mesh Abelezer, in Abelezer's town, Hayukursim Eitzim, they would do as follows. They would chop wood on Shabbos, Lasis Pechamim B'Shabbos, to form coals on Shabbos. Why? For the sake of mitzvah preparation. Lasso is barzel to produce this metal scalpel used for the bris milah. According to Belezer, not only is the actual bris milah doche Shabbos, even all the preparatory acts, the machshirin, all the achanis are doche Shabbos as well. That was his opinion. Rabbi Yossi's town, listen to what they did. They would have bird meat, chicken, together with milk. Because he held that the Isra of Basa B'chalav applies only to an animal that whose mother has milk. An animal, meat. But chicken meat doesn't apply. Says Rashi. The mother has milk as opposed to Basar Oif. So in his town they followed through. They had chicken with milk. Says the Gemara. Okay, that's the price. Apparently only in Rebbeleza's town they prepared coals, they produced scalpels on Shabbos for the Mila. Because he was martyred. In Rebbeleza's town they wouldn't do it. He doesn't allow it. The Sanya, Kalalam Rebbeleza set forth the following rule when it comes to mitzvahs on Shabbos. Kol melacha she'efsha la'asoyis men of Shabbos. Any type of melacha that theoretically could have been done ahead of time, such as looking after the scalpel, the knife of the Mila, just because you're stuck without it, doesn't allow you, doesn't justify Chilul Shabbos. It's not inherently connected to today. You could have done it yesterday. Mila needs to be done today. That's Deicha Shabbos. But your preparations, do it ahead of time. Ain't a Deicha Shabbos. So it's pretty clear that in Rabbi Kiva's town, they wouldn't do this. They wouldn't be Mechal Shabbos to make the sacking of Mila. In Rabbi Leza's town, they did. That raises the question of Lois is going to do. How can some do this and some that? What do you mean, says the Gemara? Two different towns. What's the question? When they're in separate towns, it's totally different. They're in the same town. There's no concern in this case. Udikarlo, the one who thought of this question, who presented this question, my Karlo, what was he thinking? Different towns. Sakadai Dechamina, the Maksha, the one who asked the Kasha, figured, perhaps here it's more severe. You have to pay more attention to consistency. Mishum Chumra de Shabbos. Because we're dealing with Kedusha Shabbos, and perhaps that carries greater weight. Kimal Kimechadami, we should be concerned, not allow this sort of divergent opinions, because it's going to negate we want to maintain the integrity of Shabbos. We'll treat it as though it's happening in one place and disallow this discontent. Kamash, one of the chiddush is no. Even when it comes to halachas of Shabbos, if you're in two different towns, you can follow the Urav, your Shita, without concern of creating machlekes. Tashma, listen to this kash. The Rabbevo ki ikal asri. When Rabbevo visited the town of the Rabbi Shuban Levi, have a metaltal shraga. He would move around the candelabra, the candle, the nair that had been lit during the Shabbos, and somehow flame had gone out. This is a sugi in Shabbos. He didn't hold the concept of muktz. He held like Reb Shimon, if you need it, you can move it around. Just because it was used for Isser, it doesn't make it totally off limits. So when Rav was in Rabbi Shuvah Levi's town, he followed that sheet. He was mate tiltal of the nair. When he came to visit Rabbi Yechon's town, Rabbi Yechon was the one who follows Rabbi Yehuda's shita, whose machmer applies the concept of muktzah. Even in this case, why have a metalto shragi? He wouldn't move around the candle, the lamp. So you see that each town has its own minhag, its own halacha. What about metalosis goydidu? What about machlekes? What about conflict? Again, the same teretz. Vai my kushya? What are you asking? V'lei amrina mekamis mekamishani? Hadn't we just established that if it's in different towns, there's no conflict? So what do you mean to ask? Answers the Gemara. Anan hachi kamrina. What do you mean to ask as follows? Isn't it confusing when you see Ravo doing one thing here and one thing there? Rabbi Avo, hechi avid hacha hachi. How could it be that in this town he moved the lamp? Vehechi avid hacha hachi. And in this town he didn't move it. What does he hold? Is it mutter or is it asr? Memanavshach. Answers the Gemara. The truth is, he was matir. Rabbi Avu, could Rabbi Shuma Levi Svirli? Really? He was like Rabbi Shuma Levi, who was matir, moving around this lamp. Letzarach Gufa, Letzarach Mekami, he's matirid. V'chei Mikla, L'asr Rabbi Yechon, when he came to visit Rabbi Yechon's town, out of deference to Rabbi Yechon, out of covet to Rabbi Yechon, L'yav Metalto Mishum Kvoida. He would refrain from being Metalto, but inside he really held that it's mutter. That's legal, that makes sense. He was matir, but out of covet to Rabbi Yechon, he was machmer in his presence. Mishum kvoida to Rabbi Yechon. Okay, what about the attendant, the shamas that would come along with Rabbi Avo? Vayikah shama, what about the shamas who, as far as he's concerned, was under the impression that it's mutter? Back home, you move around these lamps. Why isn't there a concern that when he comes to Rabbi Yechon's town, he'll move around the lamp as well? That's what his Rebbe always does. He would inform his shamas, look, when we're here, keep your hands off the lamp. Continues the Gemara. Toshma, we're going to have a raya and a kasha pertaining to our discussion back in the beginning of the daf. The question was, when we have machlekes, Beishamai Beisilo. We follow Beisilo. But Beishamai themselves, what do? Do they stick to their shita, or do they also follow Beisilo? Let's take a look at our Mishnah. Toshma. Ava pisha elu oishim. Be'elu matirim. Yad machlek is regarding Tzoras Habas. Tzoras Erev. Right? So we have Reuben and Shimon. Reuben passes away without children. He left behind Rachel and Leah. Rachel happens to be Shimon, the surviving brother's daughter. She's an Erev to him. Leah is a Tzoras Habas. She's the other wife, the fellow wife, together with the Erev, in the same Yibum capacity, the same Yibum situation. What happens there? Beisilo say Tzoras Erva is off limits. The Asr. We have Psukim to prove it. Beishamai disagreed, as we had yesterday, that several Rayas, Tzoras Erva is Mutter. This was an ongoing conflict. Beishamai Armatir Tzara Besila Lois. Mishnah tells us it didn't get in the way. It didn't create a machlekes. They didn't take it personally. Aval Bish Elo Oishrim Elo Matir. Even though Beis Hillel say Tzara's Erev is Aser Liyibum and Bishamay Amater Loinimnu Bishamay Milisa Noshim Beis Hillel. This wouldn't get in the way of Bishamay intermarrying, taking women from Beis Hillel. V'loy Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, nor would Beis Hillel hesitate to marry into Beis Shammai. Such is the Mishnah. Now let's analyze the Mishnah. Isn't there a clear indication in the Mishnah that everybody would follow their own opinion? Iyamas b'shleim alei asu. Sorry, the other way around. Iyamas b'shleim alei asu. This makes sense if Beis Shammai never carried through, never carried out their shit. They were machman like Beis Hillel. At the end of the day, they did not apply Yibum to a Tzoras Erev. That explains why Beis Hillel would not refrain from marrying into Beis Shammai, because in actuality they did nothing wrong. They held that it's Mutter, but they didn't actually carry it out. Eli Amras also, but if you're going to tell me that Beis Shammai actually applied their Halacha L'maisa, they allowed Yibum by a Tzoras Erev, according to Beis Hillel, that's risky business. Amai L'nimnu, why wouldn't Beis Hillel hesitate to marry into Beis Shammai? You see, Bishlami Beis Shammai Beis Hillel L'nimnu, I understand why Beis Shammai wouldn't hesitate to marry into Beis Hillel, because what's the worst thing that can happen? A Tzoras Erev surfaces, Beis Hillel say, you know what? She's Asr. There's no Yibum. Go marry out. Go marry a stranger. You're not bound by any halachas of Yibum. Now, according to Beis Shammai, it's inappropriate. She's meant to be Mesiyavim, right? But what's the doomsday scenario? What's the worst thing that can happen here? She marries out. It's a lav. She transgressed a lav. The lav that we had yesterday. Lysia Eshes HaMeis Chutz. So what happens when a lav is transgressed in terms of, in the context of marriage? The child is a bnei chayavi lav, the child of a lavin relationship. There's no mamzer there. The whole thing's inappropriate, but it doesn't create a mamzer. So that didn't really pose a great concern to Beis Shammai. At worst case, it's a product of a lav. So they wouldn't hesitate to marry into Beis Hillel. Bishlami Beis Shammai Beis Hillel L'nimnu. I understand why Beis Shammai wouldn't refrain from marrying from Beis Hillel, because at worst case, if the Tzaras Erev did not go to Yibum, she married a stranger. The child is a bnei, the bnei chayavi lavaninu. The children created from such a union are considered bnei chayavi lavan and not considered mamzer. Ella, but the other way we don't understand. How could Beis Hillel nonchalantly just walk over and take noshim from Beis Shammai? Ella, Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai, amai l'nimnu. Why wouldn't they hesitate to marry into Beis Shammai? This is serious. Bnei chayavi krisus, mamzerim ninu. At Tzoras Erev, according to Beis Shammai, goes Liyibum. What happens there? So according to Beis Shammai, she's doing greatest mitzvah. According to Beis Hillel, at Tzoras Erev is also Liyibum. Shimon may not marry Leah, the Tzor of Rachel, his daughter. She's like an ordinary sister-in-law now. She's not a Yevama. She's a brother's wife, a brother's widow. The product of that union is a mamzer, because it carries a curse liability. So how could Beis Hillel calmly marry into Beis Shammai? Ela Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, amai lo nimnu. Why wouldn't they refrain? B'nei chayavi krisis mamzerim ninu. Chitem, perhaps he'll say, because how did Beis Hillel? Beis Hillel would hold, de'ein mamzer mechayavi krisis. No, a mamzer is not formed from this union. Rashi says only by case of Mrs. Bezna, but not in the case of a sister-in-law of Kuris. That's not true. But Amar Belezer, Ava Bishanechel Go Beisham Beisil B'Tzoris. Even though there's an ongoing machlek is between Beisham Beisil when it comes to Tzoris Erev, but all agree what makes a mamzer. Kuris makes a mamzer. Moedim, they all agree she'ein mamzer ela memishi surei isur erev vanish Kuris. When one marries into an erva that involves Kuris, the child is a mamzer. Apparently, here is a solid raya. Beis Shammai never carried out their opinion. They never actually allowed a Tzoras Erev to marry the Yavam, in which case were safe. Although they held and that the Tzaras Erev was meant to go to Yibam, but they didn't actually carry it out, and therefore Bishtil can calmly marry into Bisham. That's right, that was Shiloh. Asu, or Loyasu? Loyasu. No, Loy Loyalam Asu. Perhaps they did carry it out. So how did we get around the Tzaras Erev issue? To Maidulu, Parashu. Parashu, Bisham, would inform Bishtil ahead of time. Look, that Shirach, that's not for you. That's a Tzaras. No, they would inform them. They were very respectful to Basil's opinion. Look, according to you, this is off limits, not for you. It appears that this is the correct approach, that they would, everybody did their own thing, but they would keep track, they would keep documented records of who came from what, and they would inform their counterparts of the background of every individual. It appears that this is the correct approach, that they would forewarn them. Tani Sefer, because the Mishnah concludes, same concept applied to Tumah v'Taharu. Kol ha-Taharus, v'chol ha-Tumah, show you Eilu Mataran, v'Eilu Mataman, despite the fact that there were so many halachas of Tumah v'Taharu, where they were engaged in machloikas. Generally, Basham was Mekel, Basil was Machmer, when it comes to these things, still they wouldn't hesitate to borrow from each other and use each other's utensils. Lo'inimnu oisim taharis, Eilu agabe Eilu, they would do their taharis using each other's utensils. Now, the only way to work this out is if they give them a heads up, told them ahead of time, look, this is Tameh according to you. Otherwise, this wouldn't work. Now, this could be worked out if they informed them ahead of time. They would tell them, look, this is Tameh according to your opinion. That explains why they wouldn't hesitate to use each other's kelim. But if they would not inform them, they kept them in the dark. Now, Bishlami Beishamim Beisil, I understand why Beishamim wouldn't have an issue using Beisil as Kalim. They wouldn't hesitate. You know why? Because generally, Rashi says when it comes to Tumah v'Tahara, Beishamim were the Mekel. They took the lenient approach. So in this case, Beishamim has no issue with using Beisil as Kalim. The Tumayos, or the Tumah is the Beisil, or the Beishamim, Taharis Nino, because all things that are Tumah going to Beisil, going to Beishamim, Tahar. Not getting into trouble using Beisil as Kalim. Well, you hold this Tumah, we hold this Tahar. There's no issue there. So they could partake in Bishlam's Kalim. But what about the other way around? How can Bishlam borrow from Beis Shammai? Ela Bishlam, mi Beis Shammai? Lama loy nimnu? Why would they hesitate to use their Kalim? Taharis to Beis Shammai? Things that are considered Torah according to Beis Shammai? Le Bishlam, Tmeis Nimnu? Are considered Tamei according to Bishlam? So you must say that they informed them. They told them ahead of time. Ela lav de maidilu. Shema mina? Pretty clear conclusion, pretty clear raya. And in fact, they told him ahead of time, and therefore when it comes to the other issue of a Tzaras Erev, they were all informed of what's going on. So certainly everybody followed their shitas, they were asu, va'asu, but they were informed ahead of time. Says the Gemara, umay ulmei dahach mahach. There's something interesting in this last piece of Gemara. Initially the Gemara figured, well, if Beis Shammai followed through, they were matit Tzaras Erev, how could Basil marry him? Right? Answer, they informed him. I'll prove it to you. When it comes to the utensils, how would they interact? How would they share? It must be they informed him. Now, why is it more proof from the utensils than from the Tzaras Erev? How can they intermarry? They must have informed them. Stop right there. It's all the way out. That's a good proof. Why add the second element? How could they share kalim? They must have informed them. Why is the kalim aspect of this discussion more worthy, more weighty? Why is it a bigger proof than the fact that they intermarried? Why is kalim superior to intermarriage? Perhaps I would say that intermarriage is not a riot. It's not a riot that they informed them. You know why? Tzara kala islay, when it comes to a tzara's erva situation, everybody hears about it, everybody knows about it. Pretty uncommon, unique situation. Therefore, Basil perhaps wouldn't be concerned about running into a tzara unknowingly because everybody knows about it. It's public, it's public record, public information. So there wouldn't be a riot necessarily that they were informed by Bisham. Perhaps they just figured it out on their own. Kamashmon, that's where we go to the next case. They shared Kalim. That's not something which is publicly known. Who knows what's going on with the Kalim? It must be that there was information going around. They were conveying to them. They were informing them ahead of time what to use and what not to use. Gufa, let's go back to that price. Omer Belezer. Although we have this running machlekes between the Sham and Sil when it comes to Tzoreis Erevah, might but all agree, how is a mamzer formed? How do you identify a mamzer? She'ein mamzer. A mamzer only comes about by way of an union of karis. Ela memishi surah yisr erevah. There's an erevah involved, va'anush karis, which carries with it a penalty of karis. That's how a mamzer results. Now, even though there's a machlekes when it comes to tzoreis, they agree regarding this concept. Who agreed to who? Man Maidim, who's agreeing to who? Ilay me Beishamay Beis Hillel. Beishamay agree to Beis Hillel. Meaning, although when it comes to Tzoreis Erva, Beishamay Amatir, and Beis Hillel don't allow Yibum by Tzoreis Erva, rather they advocate, they tell you to go marry out. So according to Beishamay, they committed a lav. They were Ivar and a lav. I'll marry out. Ignore Yibum obligations. So the child from that union is considered a ben chayav elavin, and not a mamzer. Well, that's poshut. You tell me Beis Shammai are agreeing to Beis Hillel. They're not concerned about Beis Hillel's children. Of course, pshita bnei chayav elavin ksher ninu. The child from a lav union is kosher. Right, there's no question about that. So what's the chiddush here? Beis Shammai agree. There's nothing to agree. The child of a lav is not a mamzer. Ela Beis Hillel Beis Shammai. Oh. The other way around. The chiddush is that Beis Hillel would agree to Beis Shammai. The child is not, there's no concern regarding the child. It's not a mamzer. Although you apply Yibam to Atzaris Erva. We're not concerned about that union. We're not concerned about that child. What do you mean, why not? That's exactly what a mamzer is. He gufa chayav a krisasi. We're speaking about a situation of a krisus. According to Beis Hillel, what Beis Shammai are doing is the worst of the worst. It's marrying a sister-in-law who's not a yivama. Tzara Sarah is not a yivama. She's part of a yivam. Child is a child of a chayav a krisus. So why isn't there a mamzer concern? What does it mean that they agree there's no concern? Lo'elam Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. The point that he's making is as follows. Beis Shammai was not concerned with Beis Hillel's families. So although according to Beis Shammai, Tzoreis Erva is meant to have Yibam, and Beis Hillel disagree and they send the Tzoreis Erva out in the street, she can marry out, which according to Beis Shammai is a transgression of a lav, that child does not pose a concern of mamzer. Lo'elam Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai pertaining to Beis Hillel, relating to Beis Hillel, not concerned about mamzer. Lafukin Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is trying to undo Rabbi Akiva's shita, negate Rabbi Akiva's shita. The Amar Yesh Mamzer Mechavi Lavin. He holds that even a child from a lav union is considered a mamzer. Kamash Mulan. Rabbi Akiva comes and tells us, no, Dein Mamzer Mechavi Lavin. It's not. So I disagree. A mamzer is only one of Kuris, not something from a lav. And therefore, in this case, where according to Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel committing a lav by marrying out, by allowing the Yibama to go free, that child is a child of a Chayav Elavin. Sure, it's terrible, but it's not a mamzer, and therefore it poses no concern regarding marriage. Toshma, let's go back to the original question. Did Beis Shammai actually carry out their Shita? Did they actually allow the Tzoreis Erva to marry the Yavam? So we've already proven from this discussion here that they did. We have another Raya to prove the same point. The Braisa, the Sefta, says like this. We have many, many points of contention, machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, pertaining to marriage. Ava b'shenechlok Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, even though there was this running machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel regarding b'tzareis, tzareis erva, b'achayis, that's down on the chavav, b'get yashon, b'safek eshes ish, many halachas pertaining to marriage, b'megarish tesh ishtoi, v'lamon imoy b'pundiki. For instance, the case where after Gerushin, they were together in the hotel, there was a concern about Yichud, about perhaps remarriage. Bekesef, Mishal Bekesef, What is the sheer money? What's the value? It must be handed over to the Isha by Kedushin. According to Beis Shammai, it needs to be a dinar worth, or at least Shava Kesef, something worth a dinar, either a dinar or the Shava Kesef. According to Beis Hill, all you need is a pruta. Many, many discussions, many machlokes. So despite the numerous machlokes between them, there was close camaraderie and friendship. They would intermarry. They would marry into each other's families. Lo nimnu Beishamai Melissa Noshim Beisil. Beishamai wouldn't hesitate to marry into Beisil's families. Veloy Beisil Beishamai Lametcha. This tells us how great they were. It wasn't personal. It was all a matter of figuring out what Hashem wants in the Torah, but it never spilled over into personal realms. Shechiba ve'reyus noyegim zebezeh. It was this intense friendship and harmony and camaraderie amongst them. L'kayim ha-shenemar, fulfillment of the pasuk, ha-emes v'ha-shalom ehavu. When you're looking, when you're seeking emes and shalom, when you're seeking emes, it appears like you're arguing, debating, but really it's the true peace. They come to clarity, they come to closeness. We're on the same page, although we have diverging opinions, but it's all a matter of figuring out what Hashem Echad wants. The true inner peace, camaraderie and friendship. You have the Rambam and Pirsha Mishnah in Demai says, why the Talmid Chacham called Chavirim? Throughout the Gemara, Mishnah, we find that he says the true Chavrus is a spiritual friendship. As the Mishnah in Perkei Avos says, an Ava she'inat luya b'davar, an Ava which is not and a relationship and love that's not dependent upon physical attraction or physical elements, be it money, be it other things, that's a true ava. It's internal and eternal. It's a true closeness, which stems from a closeness of neshama, which bonds together and binds together. So the love and friendship was expressed by the fact that they married into each other despite their machlekes. It reminds me of a story, an interesting story, Pelikan story. It happened with Rashash. Great Talmud Chacham, actually a wealthy Jew, lived in Vilna, and we all know the Rashash, Helga Rashash. So he was sitting and learning one day, and he was visited by a fellow who owed him money. So the fellow came in to return the money. He gave him the money, paper money, and the Rashash, while he was learning, he just put it into the, like he slipped into the Gemara by mistake, without realizing that he left it there, closed the Gemara, put it away. Some time passed, and he approached this fellow for the loan. He says, look, remember we have a loan going. So this fellow says, what do you mean, I paid you back the loan. Rashash didn't remember. Apparently he had been totally immersed in the suga, and he just didn't realize, he didn't remember the incident. He didn't remember the fact that he paid him back. So he says, what do you mean, you owe me the money? And the word got out, and sure enough, the public assumed that the tzaddik, the Rashash, is in the right, and this fellow is this honest fellow, and his name got smeared, he lost his reputation to the point that he had to leave town, he wandered in some distant place, and that's it, I forgot about him. So it happens that one day, years later, Ashash is sitting and learning, and he turns the page and he finds the money. I couldn't believe it, money in the Gemara, and it all came back to him. This must be the money, the repayment of that loan by that poor fellow who I accused. And look what happened to him. He was banished from the city. Disgrace. Lost his reputation. Lost his parnasa. Rashash couldn't get over it. He was beside himself. He couldn't forgive himself. So he traveled to this fellow out to that town. And he says, look, you're right. You're 100% right. I'm at fault. I should have remembered that you paid back the money. Please forgive me. So this fellow says, look, I can forgive you, but my family lost their reputation. Was smeared. Nobody wants to have anything to do with us. A ganav, a family of ganavim. We have to somehow do something to rectify that bad name, that reputation. The only way I could forgive you, if you have a son, marriageable age, I have a daughter. When you'll marry into my family, you take my daughter as a kala for your son, now everybody will realize that, they'll think that you're just trying to forgive me, that you're a tzaddik and you're forgiving me for really something that I wronged you. Nobody's going to believe me that I really paid it back. The only way you can really make that statement, that I'm an honest fellow, that you sincerely believe that I'm an honest fellow. You do a shidduch, my family. That's the biggest raya. And that will be a good reason. That will allow me to be meichel you. If you restore my family's good name. Rishash spoke to his son, he went back home and spoke to his son, and they did a shidduch. Now everybody saw that it was genuine, it was real. This fellow really was an honest fellow, and this whole thing was just misunderstanding and unfortunate mistake. So here we find as well, Bisham and Basil, despite their ongoing machlekes, they would marry into each other as a sign of closeness and friendship. Baisa continues. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Nimnu hein min avade, v'loi nimnu min asafik. So at this point, the Gemara, Rashi explains, the Saka Daitach, the Havamin of the Gemara is like this. We spoke about several examples of machlekes. In some cases, there's an Issa Vadai. Bishami holds it's Asr, Bishami holds it's Mutter, right? But in some cases, it's based on an uncertainty. For instance, the case where they slept together in the Punduk, the Shaila there, whether it undoes the divorce, undoes the get. It's a Safik. It's not a known fact. There's a Safik involved. Bishami was concerned, Bishami was not concerned. So at this point in the Gemara, we understand like this. Rav Shimon meant to say that when it came to Vadai, things which were Vadai Isser, Beishami would can't afford to partake in that. They can't marry those women from Beisil. Women which, according to their opinion, are awesome. But if it's just a question of a Safik, did it happen? They were Meikel in that case. They were not strict. They would marry into Beisil in such a situation. Okay. Now, let's analyze the price. So if the respective shittas, respective institutions, Beisam and Beisil, each follow their own opinions, that explains why Reb Shimon tells us when it comes to Avada Yisr, they would keep away. I can't take from you when going to me it's us. But if you maintain that nobody would really follow their, everybody followed Beisil, my nimnus, what's the point of refraining? Bottom line is, everybody would agree that the Beis Hillel is the way to go. Says the Gemara. V'tisbro. Now, what do you mean? Nihi nami da asu. Even if you'll tell me that each shita would actually follow through, would carry out their shitas. That's how you explain the brisa. Right? And that's why they would refrain from the vade, because I can't partake in something which is us. Let's break it down. We have Bishamai and Bishil. Bishlam and Bishil, Nimnu and Bishamai. Understand why Bishil would refrain from marrying women from Bishamai who were involved in Isurim, according to Bishil's opinion. Let's say the case of the Tzoras Erva. Right? So according to Bishamai, they were Nesiabim. Which according to Beis Hillel is a plain out Isser. So of course they kept away. The Chayav of Chrisis Nino. That child is a child of a Chorus union. Umamzerim. The Beis Hillel. According to us, Beis Hillel, they're Mamzerim. So we can't marry them. Ela Beis Shammai. Amai Nimnu Beis Hillel. But why would Beis Shammai keep away from Beis Hillel? So you allow the terrorist ever to marry out? You let her go? What's the worst thing? You ever love. A child is still roy, it's not a mamzer. B'nei chayav ilav ninu, uksher ninu. So basically, we're asking on your right. So Bryce spoke about several machlekes, and we say that they were meineya. Rav Shimon says they would keep away from things which were certainly isurim. So we figured, okay, that proves our point. Apparently, they actually carried out their shittas. That's why we have to keep away from you when it's a vade. One second. I understand why Beis Hillel keep away from Beis Shammai. Why Beis Shammai keep away from Beis Hillel? At worst, it's a lav to allow the Yavama free. That's not enough reason to keep away. And this is the Gemara. Could the Amar of Nachmar Yitzchak le'nitzrucha el tzora atzm. Later on, the Masechet of Nachmar Yitzchak says something about Tzora herself. Hachanami here as well. We're trying to figure out why Beis Shammai will have a concern with keep away from Beis Hillel's women. We're not speaking about the children of the Tzara. Those are children of a Chayav Elavim. If the Tzara married out, Yivam married a stranger. Fine. Child is not so terrible. He's a son of a Chayav Elavim. The concern was regarding the Tzara herself. Oh. They spotted a Tzara's Erva. Not doing Yibam the way it's meant to be, according to Beis Shammai. They saw a Tzara's Erva in Beis Hillel's family who was not being attended, who was not being a Siyab, they keep away from her. You know, I married Tzara's Erva because she's a Yivam, according to Beis Shammai's Shit. So again, everybody followed through. Everybody did their Shitas. Beis Shammai was Asu, Beis Hillel was Asu. And they knew to keep away. No specific Noshim who were problematic according to their opinions. Beis Hillel would keep away from Beis Shammai's Noshim. And Beis Shammai would keep away from certain Noshim of Beis Hillel, such as the actual Tzara, who according to Beis Shammai is awaiting Gibbon, and according to Beis Hillel is ignoring Gibbon. Okay. One more thing to figure out. Reb Shimon says they kept away from Vadai and not from Safek. Why? Safek is also a problem. Safek the Raisa L'chumra. How can you negate a Safek? Why they keep away from a Vada Yisur? Because it's Asur. Safek Nami Yisuru. Even those situations which are Safek Yisur. And Megarish is Ishtay Velana Ima Pundaki. It's a Safek Yisur. That's also problematic. Safek pertaining to Yisur Deraisa to keep far away. You're right. That's not the Pshat at all. We're going to change the Pshat in this phrase. Loitema Mena Safek. No. That's not what we mean. That they wouldn't be concerned about Safek, of course they were. Ela imam mina stam. Let's change it from Safek to stam. They wouldn't necessarily question. Unless they had room to suspect. Unless there was grounds to be concerned that perhaps this Isha is one of those Nashim who are problematic according to us, Beis Shammai. But stam, they wouldn't just arouse suspicion. They wouldn't just generate concern. They would assume that Beis Hillel would be honest with them. The Maidilu Parashi. They would just have full trust in Beis Hillel. The fact that you didn't tell us anything about this Isha indicates that you have nothing to hide. You know that we have certain opinions, certain Shitas. The fact that you're not telling us anything about this specific Shidduch indicates that you feel she's perfect for us. We don't have to question. Oh, my Kamashma. Now, so what's the point of the price? What's the point of mentioning this? That there was absolute trust. There was faith and trust running between them. The Ava Vareis Noigim Zebazeh, there was friendship and camaraderie amongst them. And full of trust. Haina Reisha, that's exactly what the Reisha said. Tanakam also said the same thing. They would marry to each other with Chiba, with Reis. What's the point of repeating this? Why did Shimon have to go over the same thing? They weren't concerned about a Stam Isha because they were fully trusting that they would inform them. This is pretty much the same concept over again. How come Ashman, the Kulur of Shimon, you're right. The Brisa is simply concluding with Rav Shimon because the entire Brisa was authored by Rav Shimon. He's the one speaking from beginning to end. And presenting us with this wonderful equation, this wonderful phenomenon. There was this raging machlekes, but it was tempered with Avav Reis, coated with Shalom and Emes, Chiba and intermarrying. Let's do a quick chazara. So we learned about Loisis Goydidu, which according to the conclusion of the Gemara only applies when there's a real head-on collision conflict. We have one Bezdin split down the middle. Half is going like Beis Shammai, half like Beis Hillel, that's a concern. But if it's two separate institutions, even in the same city, there's no concern. Then we have the Shaila regarding, for instance, the case of Tzaras Erva. Beis Shammai says she's Yivama, Beis Hillel says she's Potter from Yivama. What actually happened? Did Beis Shammai carry through with their Shita or not? Some say yes, some say no. We actually had several riots. From one brisa, from another brisa, where we proved that, yeah, Beis Shammai indeed did follow through with their shita. So why didn't the Beis Hillel not hesitate to marry into Beis Shammai? Because they would tell them in advance. They had full faith and trust in Beis Shammai. They would inform them. There was Ava v'chiba, l'kayim ha-shenemar ha-emes, v'ha-sholayim ehavu. Amen, ken yiratzim b'yas. Haslacha rabah.